This is Seth Green. Welcome to the Ultimate Marketing Magician Podcast. I am here today with a very, very special guest. Her name is Nancy Gordon. She is the founder, I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce this right, but she is the founder of the not-for-profit Zolos for Chronic Pain Relief and Pause for Comfort. She is a licensed clinical social worker from California, and she has been interviewed all over the media, TV, radio, newspapers, magazines. She's spoken at national events, all because of something that happened to her and what silver lining came out of it. So I don't want to tell your story for you because I won't do it justice. So how did you get diagnosed with fibromyalgia and the mild brain injury to start? And then what amazing thing has come out of that?
Thank you so much, Seth. I had a car accident in 1992 and suffered severe whiplash, which I thought would go away, but didn't. And it took 3 years to get diagnosed with fibromyalgia by a rheumatologist, which is not unusual, unfortunately, for many people who have this condition. It can take many years, and you think you're kind of going crazy without a diagnosis. So when I actually got diagnosed with the fibromyalgia, it was both a relief and a horror to hear when I understood what it really meant. The mild brain injury, I didn't know about until 14 years later when, when I was in therapy for another issue. My father was dying, and I was fortunate to be seeing a psychologist who had her own brain injury experience, and she recognized the symptoms. So I was very fortunate to get it diagnosed, because once I did get it diagnosed, it made so many things make sense out of those years when I was suffering with my cognitive process. And it also empowered me once I got over the grief of what had actually all had happened to me. It empowered me to improve whatever I could with my brain. I took brain training classes and a class for people with brain injuries about organizing their life. And so the diagnosis was actually a blessing.
That's amazing. Now you have more to the story.
Yes, I have a lot to the story. So I worked as a psychotherapist in my own practice for a total of 16 years. The last six of those were while I was on disability. I mean, while I was suffering with this disability. And I finally got to the point where I realized I have to surrender, and I could no longer work anymore. And that was very devastating for me, very, very devastating, because I loved what I did. My life purpose is to help others, and I had a great practice and a great life, but my health really, really was at a point where I could no longer really function. So I did go on disability, and I went on disability with the intention of getting off as soon as I could. And in that journey, what ended up happening, the silver lining you mentioned, is I figured out over the years how to manage my condition physically. And the harder parts for me sometimes were the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of what my condition had imposed on my life and how I had reacted to those elements. So I was somebody who was really unhappy being on disability and not working. It was always my goal to get back to a career, back to my life purpose, which is to help others. So in those years that I was on disability, I started figuring out, with the help of my two dogs, how to heal on the emotional, mental, and spiritual levels. And that journey culminated in my writing a workbook that I recently published called Seven Steps of Hope, Healing the Emotional, Mental, and Spiritual Impact of Chronic Illness and Disability. And now I have returned to my life purpose through this workbook and am helping other people go through seven steps that I went through that I identified helped me the most to not only recover more and have more healing on those levels, but also to exceed and bring back those parts of me that had been lost through my condition and find the greatness within me again.
That's incredible. So many people, you know, suffer in silence, or they suffer and they accept that that's just how their life is and that there's no way out, there's no way through, and, you know, the 17 medications they take and the side effects just to treat the symptoms are what life is going to be like. You made a, for lack of a better term, amazing canine discovery. Tell us about that.
Yes. Yes, and I'd like to respond to what you just said, because it's such an important point that people with chronic illness and disabilities often stay stuck in on that level of the physical level, and they suffer. I experienced a lot of angst with my condition, and it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what my work is all about, is showing another way to live. I don't pretend to tell people you're going to heal on a physical level necessarily, but you can heal all the other aspects. So part of my healing, a huge part of my healing, came about when I had been closed my practice and went on disability. And I learned about this ancient breed of dog called the Xoloitz Quintli, or known also as the Mexican Hairless, which is much easier for everybody to pronounce. And they were used in the ancient Aztec cultures. They go back over 3,500 years. They were used as healing, mystical, spiritual dogs. Part of their healing is because they are hairless or very, very short-coated, and you feel their heat when your skin is, when they place their bodies next to you, so you're skin to skin. It's like a live heating pad. And so when I heard about this breed, I said, I'm going to get one of these toy-sized dogs, put her around my neck, and call her Toaster. Because she replaced my 24/7 microwave neck wrap. So now I have a 24/7 no microwave hot dog.
That's amazing.
It really is. We ended up catching the attention of Animal Planet, and they did a half-hour segment on their series, That's My Baby, in 2002 when Toaster had her litter of puppies, one of whom I have named Pink, because she was born hairless and all pink. And she's been an amazing, amazing inspiration for me, because at the age of one, she had to have an amputation on her left hind leg. And watching how she experienced and adapted to her disability was a huge part of my healing with my own disability. And so she basically wrote a book, which I also just published, that kind of goes hand in hand with the Seven Steps of Hope. And her book is called Pink, the Three-Legged Dog Who Lost Her Leg and Found Her Courage. And
wow.
It's a children's book that inspires children to never give up, to have courage, and to figure out how to do what they want to do just differently. And that is what Pink really taught me. That's how I became able to write this workbook and figure out how to help other people again without being, you know, the kind of therapist with a private practice that I had before. So one of the things I specialized in my practice was taking my clients on retreats, intensive and transformative retreats over a weekend. And I love doing that. I love preparing all the material because I incorporated art therapy, music therapy, individual exercises, group process, and it was a very powerful part of my practice. My clients loved going on retreats. And so when I was trying to think of how I could get back to my life purpose of helping others and then focusing specifically on this kind of experience of chronic illness and disability, I realized that with the advent of what the internet has brought us would allow me to, for example, write this workbook and put it in an online program so that people all around the globe could participate in a process together of working step by step, week by week, over a 9-week course for these 7 steps.
That's amazing.
So Pink's book is part of that process for me. I'm just in the process of reading it to elementary schools, and I bring Pink, and the kids love her, and I had someone write 3 original songs based on the messages of the book, and so we play the CD for the kids, and they dance around and sing, you know, never give up, you can do it.
I want a copy of the book. what do you, other than the dog discovery, what do you wish you knew when you started that you know now?
I wished I had had the book that I wrote, The 7 Steps of Hope, because I had to figure out all those steps. And the most important one for me is the first step, which is surrendering without giving up. Because I think if I had understood that surrendering to your condition is not giving up, but rather it's a pathway to finding your greatness and your freedom, it would have saved me many years. I probably would have been back to work many, many years before I actually was. I was very, very stubborn because to me, surrendering and giving up, and it was, I didn't understand the difference between the two.
Right. I think a lot of people struggle with that. What has been your biggest mistake?
My biggest mistake was clearly not surrendering, because all that came about from my not surrendering kept me in a lot of physical pain and a lot of mental and emotional pain, as well as, of course, spiritual disconnection, because I was trying to get better all by myself. And if I had really understood surrendering as taking care of myself instead of interpreting it as giving up, I, for example, worked probably several years longer in my private practice than I should have if I had understood the difference between surrendering and giving up. And I think sometimes I wonder, looking back, if I had actually stopped working or slowed down my practice earlier, I might have been able to heal on a physical level much better, because the stress of working as I was constant. And I might not have even ever had to go on disability. So it was a very powerful lesson to me. However, at the same time, I do believe things happen for a reason, and they happen the way they're supposed to happen. And my mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer exactly a year after I quit my practice and 3 weeks after I got Toaster. And so I'm very grateful, actually, that I was in the situation I was in, because it allowed me to spend the last 2 years of my mom's life with her every day, which I would not have been able to do because we were in different states at that time.
Wow. So with all that you've got going on now, which obviously your life is dramatically different than it was all those years ago, how do you keep up? How do you stay on, for lack of a better term, the cutting edge of when we live in a society where it seems like things are changing every minute?
Well, that's a great question, because the first step, surrender, in my book is one of my biggest challenges. And my second, or perhaps tied, biggest challenge is my seventh step, which is play in the balance and balance in the play. And when I started writing this book and I identified the seven steps that I really went through year after year after year in all those years that I was on disability, I thought play was such kind of a simple, almost maybe stupid step. And like, I was thinking, don't include that in the book. People are not going to think it's meaty enough. And then as I really started writing about that step and my experience of play and balance in my life in the context of living with a chronic illness and disability, I realized it seems like a simple step, but it, for me, was actually one of the hardest steps to do. So how I stay on the cutting edge is I work that first step and the seventh step the most. I have to stay balanced in my life, and to do that requires me to surrender. It's like they're almost the same coin, different side.
Yep. Sorry.
I was just going to say, so believe it or not, something as simple to stay on the cutting edge. In other words, for me, as I've been writing this book this year and publishing it and doing everything that it's taken to recreate and reinvent myself and start a new business as I'm doing now, it's required me to work my workbook. And the less that I've done that over this year, the worse I got. So I've actually become sort of my best testimony for the workbook, because when I didn't follow it, all hell broke loose.
I bet. You sound like a perpetual learner, someone who is always out there striving to educate yourself better and more. I'm kind of curious, what magazines or trade journals or periodicals or newsletters do you read each month?
I have to say, I do more learning through things online, you know, articles or different kind of programs than I do books.
Is there a program or a blog or something that you check regularly that you would recommend?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Let me ask you this. What are the three best books, and you can't say the Bible, and you can't say your own book, that you've read that have had the most impact on your work?
Still Me by Christopher Reeve. That book was something I read when I first went on disability, the first couple months that I had quit my practice and moved from Oregon to California, and I was very depressed. And his book is, I'm sure everybody knows his story. He became a quadriplegic through a horse riding accident. And he wrote this amazing book about his journey of acceptance. And and to realize the divinity and the greatness within himself at that time that was still there despite that his body wasn't functioning at all. So that was one of the most powerful books I've read.
I bet.
And then,
I haven't read that one, but it's now, I just ordered it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's really a powerful book. And then another book that I've read in the recent years was Anita Morjani's book. I'm blanking on the title of it right at the moment, but it's about her near-death experience. And she writes about crossing over and making a decision to come back, and that what she experienced in that process was how great a force love is, and that really is what this is all about, love.
Yes, there's another great book on a similar topic called Waking Up in Heaven that I liked a lot.
Well, I'll have to get that one.
Yes, about another woman's near-death experience, and she technically died and went to heaven and talked to God and then came back, and what her life was like afterwards, trying to tell everyone about it, and all the people who thought she was crazy, and all. Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, and another book that I really liked that I read, I can't say recently either, but in those years where I was struggling to manage my condition and not let it manage me, I read Pema Chodron's When Things Fall Apart, and that's her book on the Buddhist perspective about life, just life in general, not necessarily illness, but there were many principles around surrendering and letting go and accepting and not being attached that were very central to my healing and writing.
Well, you have been an inspiration to me, and I am sure to everyone listening. For folks who want to learn more about not only your amazing story, but the seven steps and how they can help, how you can help them get to where they know they deserve to be in their life, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They can email me at pauseforcomfort@gmail.com. That's pauseforcomfort@gmail.com. They can go to my website, which is pauseforcomfort.com. I'm in the process of updating and redesigning my website, but they can see what I've been doing for all these other years with my nonprofit for Sholas for Chronic Pain Relief. And but the book material isn't up there yet.
Okay, well, I am going there right now. I can't wait to get my hands on the book about the children's book for my kids and the book, the workbook for me. So you have been a fascinating, inspiring guest. I greatly appreciate you being on and sharing your message with us and our listeners. And I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Seth. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about what I'm doing and hope that it will help many people.
We are happy to help you and grateful for the opportunity to help you get your message out there. And we look forward to many fascinating future podcasts here at Ultimate Marketing Magician. Thanks, everybody, for listening.